Two men went up to the temple to pray. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Let us pray. Lord God, in this time now, be with us in our listening. Be with us as we reflect. Speak to us in the silence. And open our hearts to your word. Amen. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, spoke recently for Mental Health Day of his battle with depression. He stood up and told the world, for all who were listening, that since last year he had been on medication to help him win that daily struggle. A man who is friend and mentor to royals, politicians, and celebrities is fighting a daily battle with depression. Prince Harry this week on ITV gave an interview at the end of his Africa tour in which he spoke about the constant management needed to his own mental health and well-being. Struggles with mental health is something which affects the wealthy and the poor, the educated and the uneducated, the leaders and those who are followers in life. There may even be people here today in our pews silently struggling with their own mental health. In the same way that any of us may trip over outside and break a bone, we are all susceptible to struggles with our own mental health. None of us are perfect. Within my own family, we know all too well how draining poor mental health can be on individuals and families. These last years have been an emotional roller coaster in so many ways, including multiple hospital visits for our family last year, including a stay in ICU for Richard. This is on top of many, many sleepless nights and a full working week. So a number of months ago, I reached out to a Christian counselor and started seeing him on a regular basis. I sought help to give me a place in my life to offload from the constant bombardment that life brings with it. Because I too am not perfect. I too need to keep my own mental health in check. Celeste has been battling with depression for the last 8 years. There have been good years and there have been bad years. Last year, she once again sought professional help. The loss of her father, the stresses and strains that this brought alongside a physically and emotionally draining pregnancy, reignited a need to seek professional support. And she's still seeing a Christian counselor today. What was slightly surprising in Celeste's case was that our health visitor didn't refer her to an NHS department. Instead, she was referred to the perinatal service at Palmerston Place from Crossreach, the social care arm of the Church of Scotland. There was such a high demand for their services that at the time of referral, there was a 6-month waiting list. A 6-month waiting list. It gives a glimpse of the needs within our own city today. Crossreach is an amazing organisation which so often goes unseen and underappreciated. Among many other things that they are doing, and they do so much, They are making considerable inroads, supporting and educating society about the need to speak out, to talk more openly about our mental health. But they can only do so much by themselves. We need to continue those conversations. Reverend Fair, the moderator of the Church of Scotland for next year, said this week, announcing his nomination, that churches and the wider voluntary sector have an obligation to step in and fill the gaps in mental health services until they are able to access the appropriate services. Churches and the wider voluntary sector have an obligation. By the time we finished our coffee this morning after church, somebody will have taken their own life in the UK. Most likely a middle-aged man. He will be someone's husband, somebody's father, somebody's friend, somebody's neighbour. Mental health and the struggles we have with it are very real indeed. And we need to be more open about it. The problem with mental health is that it is unseen. Those struggling with their mental health are often reluctant to speak out about it due to the worry of how others will see them in their life. It's amazing what a brave face, a clean shirt, or a bit of makeup can do. For Justin Welby to come out and speak publicly as the Archbishop of Canterbury, for him to come out and say that he was on medication to help with his battle with depression, would have been unimaginable just a few years ago. But barriers are beginning to be broken down slowly. It is perhaps uniquely challenging for ministers and indeed for all Christians to admit that we need support with our own mental health. The perception can be that we shouldn't need to get any help. We should have it all together as we know and have Christ in our lives. And yet today I believe that we see a very different truth in our gospel reading. We're often quick to turn our condemnation on the Pharisee in today's reading. After all, he enters the temple and shows everyone just how well he is doing in life, how perfect and indeed how righteous he is, how he is thriving, certainly not drowning. He came into the temple and said for all to hear, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all of my income. I wonder if we take a moment to pause. Can you imagine how hard, perhaps even impossible, it may be for the Pharisee to have come in and prayed anything else? As a Pharisee, he was a religious leader, an important man within the society, yet he was not perfect. For Christ alone is perfect. The Pharisee must have known that he had sinned at some point in his life, in his week, and in his day. He must have had his own personal struggles. However, it was not something that he could share publicly with the world. I can imagine that due to his position and the perceived expectations of society, he was afraid and ashamed to admit his own limitations. And so he entered the temple, the one place in which all were welcome, and he prayed. But as he did, he kept a part of his own story invisible. To have admitted that he was struggling, that he didn't have it all together all of the time, was a step too far on that day. Indeed, it may have been a step too far for him every single day. We also, though, of course, have another character in our story, the tax collector, a figure which is often seen as an outcast of society. But he was anything but an outcast. He was part of the Roman occupation. He was wealthy due to the fact that he took more taxes than required. He would have been part of the social elite of the Roman world while being despised by the occupied Jews. And yet he too, like the Pharisee, entered the temple, a place where he would have been seen as an extorter and as a sinner. And yet he was still welcome to enter. He may have heard the whispers of other temple goers saying, "What on earth is he doing here? He doesn't deserve to be here." Perhaps as we look at his prayer, we may wonder if he had perhaps just a small advantage over the Pharisee. The tax collector was already seen as a sinner by the crowds. People knew that he had wronged them and others. He was disliked and he was seen as an outsider, not one of them. He was in a place where few, or indeed any, of the Roman elite would have been that day. And those who were watching him would most likely be the people he would be squeezing for money later on that day. They already saw him as a sinner. So why not admit it? Staring at his shoes, he beat his chest and called out, "Gods, be merciful to me, a sinner." God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector prompts us in his words and indeed in his actions of the need to be honest, to be open about ourselves to those around us and to our God. He encourages us to be bolder in our actions as we speak out about our own struggles, in the knowledge that God hears our cries, and in the hope that others might hear our cries too. And yet we can also learn from the Pharisee about the need to admit that we are imperfect and that not every day is easy for us in life, that we don't always need to put on a brave face to those around us because God sees our struggles, even if others only see a strained smile. But both the Pharisee and the tax collector remind us of the need to be more open about our battles. For none of us are better than our neighbor. For none of us are perfect. What's interesting in the story is that neither of the men, from what we know, reached out to anyone around them. Indeed, the tax collector purposely positioned himself far off from others. He distanced himself from the crowds. How often do we find ourselves actively pushing others away as we go through struggles in life? How often do we look on as others reach out for help in their words and actions, only to be blind to their needs? As we see the strained smile and not the hurt within. Nicky Gumbel, who developed Alpha, said, "Churches are not museums that display perfect people. They are hospitals where the wounded, hurt, injured, and broken find healing." Churches are not museums that display perfect people. He reminds us that all should find acceptance within the walls of the church, within the family of the church, when they speak out about their own problems, as invisible as they may be, for we are all imperfect. The church offers us one of the last few remaining places to be honest. A place in which a QC can sit as an equal next to an ex-convict. A professor can sit next to someone who left school at 15 with no qualifications at all. And a business person can sit next to a failed entrepreneur struggling to make ends meet. All of us different. All of us unique. And all of us equal. Nobody, regardless of our standing in society or indeed the church, should need to put on a show like a Pharisee, because we are all wounded and hurt in our own way. Nobody should need to distance themselves like the tax collector, because all are welcome here. We are all imperfect, and yet we reach out to the one who is perfect, our God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He invites us to create a space in his church where the Pharisees and the tax collectors can dare to be honest and know that they are not alone. That they are not alone, for none of us are perfect. In the same way as we heard the psalmist teach us today, that the Lord upholds all who are falling, the Lord is near to all who call on him. May we too uphold those who are falling around us, those who are struggling in their own battles with their mental health. In doing so, we will begin to ensure that our churches are a place where the invisible can dare to be visible. Equally imperfect and equally loved by Christ and by us. Let us pray. God of the broken, God of the lost, and God of the wounded, hear our cries as we fall. Help us today to see the struggling around us, and teach us to lift up those who need our support as we turn the invisible struggles into visible opportunities to love the world as you taught us to love. Amen.